This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Super Bowl now. Why don't you just go over and start stocking up now? That way you're ahead of the game, whether you're going to a party or hosting one. Or it's a private party. Whatever. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for a very special play-by-play call of the day.
Take the air out of it. Symptom Felter in a high snap. We'll hand it. Big hole for Baker. The offensive line just pushing the Cornell guys. This reminds me of what Lafayette did to Bucknell's defensive line. Literally pushing them five. No, goodness. Okay, Kevin. Kevin has broken the chair. You okay, bud?
That's going to leave a mark.
But I'm sorry, folks. You okay?
Yeah, I think so. Got stabbed in the back by something, though.
Pick up a four. I mean, the offensive line.
I knew
line.
This place didn't like me, but I didn't think it was sabotage.
To the 44th second and six. Here comes a handoff. Baker, he's going to cut it outside to the left. He'll gain a yard or so and then get wrapped up by Holt and company. And also out there is Malin White, the backup safety, and he'll bring him down. Okay.
Do we have workman's comp?
You have to check with Learfield on that
all
one.
All right.
At the 42, it's going to be a big third down and five for Bucknell, leading 21-13 over Cornell, 4:08 left. And Kevin's giving me the big thumbs up.
We're good. I got checked out by the trainer. I can go back in.
You and Ralph Rucker were injured today.
I can go back in now. Little bumped up, but I'm ready to play, Coach.
Are you okay?
Yeah, we're good.
He was leaning back, Todd, and the back broke off his chair.
I am going to have so much fun with that on the ride home.
Where is the Learfield camera in the booth? Like
I was
going to
say, if Steve and Jack don't have this with their Learfield booth camera, let's not have that camera in here at all anytime soon.
Yes, indeed. This past season, Bucknell at Cornell, and the suit putting on a show, thinking he was on camera, breaking a chair, falling to the floor. Doug Birdsong, ever the professional, taking care of business. Our play-by-play call of the day. All right. It's become an annual event. It's great to have him back. He is the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mount Carmel's Brett Veach. Brett, congratulations on what you've done so far, and welcome back. So great to have you back on with us.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve. It's great to be on the show. And, it's been another great journey, and it's always a lot of fun. Never take it for granted. It's certainly a hard thing to do, but certainly gonna enjoy the weeks leading up and looking forward to the game.
No question. Look, there's always – this is a league where there's a lot of changeover, and there's been a lot of changeover on your offensive line. In fact, a guy that used to be on your offensive line I see almost every day, that's Stefan Wisniewski. Donovan Smith was brought in this year. He may ended up making 9 starts for you, but he's on that left side. What kind of addition did he end up being for you this year?
Yeah, look, Steve, we always find a way to get a Penn State guy on the roster.
That's right.
for the big moments in the big games, right? No, listen, he's been great. And, last season, coming off Super Bowl win, like every year you have a lot of work to do, but, we had a little bit more of a difficult task last offseason. We lost both tackles and able to sign Juwan Taylor quickly out of free agency and got through the draft. And, always want to make sure we're doing what we need to do for the quarterback and keep him protected. And had a chance to get in contact with Donovan and bring him in here. And needless to say, it was a huge addition for us, and a guy that's played that long in the league, and he's logged a bunch of starts. But just a great person, brings a lot of character and personality to the practice field every day. Again, like I said, one of those guys just has so much experience. He's a great mentor for the young guys, and he's a big reason, you know, why we're able to win those three playoff games, and getting him back healthy at the right time was certainly good fortune for us.
You brought up something in that answer I thought that was interesting. You talked about the character of somebody, what they bring to the table, not just as a football player. How important is that evaluation for you as you're putting, quote, a team together?
Yeah, I mean, it's really one of the most important things. I mean, in this league, I mean, there's a lot of parity, and most of these games get decided by 2 or 3 points, and you're always going to have, in every season, doesn't matter how they end. I mean, we've been fortunate to have some successful seasons here, but in all of those seasons, we face a lot of adversity. So I think, you know, just having those guys that understand it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, understand it's going to be tough at points, but just keep that positive outlook on things and come to work every day and be the same person, continue to do the hard work, and, you know, it just enables not just a position group, but the team as a whole to just handle adversity, and you're going to get hit with a lot of adversity here. And the one thing I'm super proud about this team is, you know, they always under a microscope, you know, we're the type of team now that when we travel, I mean, we're the team's A game on their schedule, and, you know, have to take their best shot week in and week out, and guys learn from it and stay the path, and I think it makes us tougher at the end of the season.
I mean, you put a team together. Something that was frustrating in watching Kansas City this year were the number of surprising drop passes. What hasn't happened in the postseason? You haven't dropped any passes. When you signed these guys, you didn't expect that to happen. How frustrating was it for you at times to see guys that you know what they're capable of and they had that inconsistency to now see it become consistent?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of you know, both of those things. I mean, it's always – I mean, listen, we're going out there every week to play our best, and, you know, it's frustrating when, you know, some weeks that, you know, those things happen, and, you know, but I'll say this, like, even though there was some frustration and there was some disappointment throughout the course of the season, I don't think any of us here on the staff and certainly the players in the locker room, I think that, you know, the ability was always there and all these mistakes were correctable. You know, that was the one thing that we just kept our eye on the future and, you know, just accepted it and use it as an opportunity to learn from it. And you know, I think looking back on this season, you know, probably our worst performance of the year was the Christmas game against Las Vegas. You know, probably played our worst game of the year. But, you know, at the time, you know, it was a big blow to us. But I really think looking back on it, that was probably one of the most important games of the year because I think it provided an opportunity for us all as an organization to look in the mirror and you know, to really focus in on the small things and the details. And, you know, sometimes that happens with a long schedule. And, you know, these guys are emotionally and physically, they wear down a little bit. And every now and then, if you have experience like we did against Vegas on Christmas Day, it can go one of two ways. It can, you know, maybe turn your season the wrong way and things only get worse. Or you can really, you know, use that opportunity to look in the mirror and you know, reach all that potential you have and really focus in. And so, listen, you know, some of those early drops and all that stuff, but yeah, it was frustrating because, yeah, you know, we put a high premium on excellence and playing our best week in and week out. But there was never a loss of confidence. And, you know, we always knew that talent-wise, you know, there's more than enough in this locker room to win games. It's just a matter of, you know, being more consistent and, you know, taking care of our own self-inflicted mistakes.
You've had really a great eye for talent during the course of your career. It's what's helped separate you from others. There are a couple of guys on this team that either you drafted or you signed on this particular team. It may be under the radar that you're particularly proud of because you saw something that maybe some others didn't.
Oh, that's a tough one because, you know, you hate saying names and then you feel like you
leave. Yeah, you left somebody out. Yeah.
Yeah, players out. But, look, I'm really proud of all these guys and, you know, we've been fortunate, and I got a great personnel staff and great coaching staff that supports us throughout the draft process here. But, you know, we've been fortunate where a lot of these young guys that we bring in year in and year out are, you know, have to step up and contribute. You know, obviously last year, you know, with what Pacheco did in the postseason run, you know, being a seventh round pick, and you know, this year, you know, a guy like Jamari Connor, you know, we had a couple good safeties, and Justin Reed and Brian Cook. We brought in Mike Edwards, three really good safeties. We had an injury to Brian Cook, he got hurt, and then, you know, Jamari's been asked to step up and have a bigger role, and really proud of the way he's come along and has gotten better and better every week. But certainly to get where we want to go and, you know, hopefully to finish this thing off, it requires all hands on deck and all these guys, whether it's Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, or, you know, guys in the practice squad, I mean, they all have a big part in regards to why we are where we are, and just really proud of all of them for their work and their dedication.
Along the way, give me a name of a person or a couple of people that influenced how you saw things, how you looked at something, gave you a tip as to what you might be seeing, you know, to then fit with your own personal instincts. Who influenced you, Brett?
Well, I mean, sir, right at the top with certainly Coach Reed. I mean, blessing and just really good fortune to start my career with him and still work with him. But without question, you know, Andy's been my biggest influence and being able to see the game through his eyes and you know, not just the X's and O's, not just, you know, roster composition, but really culture and character and, you know, how that works on a day-to-day basis and how important that is. So, you know, without question, you know, Coach Reed is at the top of that list. And then, you know, two guys that when I came to Kansas City took me in and coached me up, and that would be John Dorsey and Chris Ballard. I mean, those two guys, you know, John coming from Green Bay and Chris coming from Chicago, super experienced guys. And, you know, they helped coach me up in regards to just, you know, running the show and, you know, meetings and just the proper schedules and procedures just to keep everything organized and details and to not miss anything. So, you know, I've been from Coach Williams at Mount Carmel to Tubby Raymond at Delaware to Andy Reid with the Eagles and the Chiefs, you know, and then working with John and Chris, man, I have, you know, benefited more from being around great people than anybody there is. So, never take that for granted. And just, again, very lucky that I've had the opportunity to work with some really, really good people.
Yeah, no, and I do the same thing in my career. I do a long list of people just like you can, which has been phenomenal. How difficult is the financial piece of this? Because it's such a puzzle. I mean, how much time is needed and put in by everybody in the organization to make it financially fit so you can put a competitive team on the field while also staying within structure?
Yeah, it's extremely hard. It's difficult, but, you know, that's the beauty of the league. And, you know, that's why the NFL is so popular, and that's why these games always come down to the end. I mean, the better you are, the more your players cost. And additionally, you're picking later in the draft every year. So it is set up for teams that don't have a ton of talent on their roster to go out there and get better players. And it's structured for teams to have high premium picks. And, you know, the more you win, the more disadvantaged you are in regards to, you know, the cap and you know, your draft allocation. So it's a challenge. It's a puzzle. And, you know, it's basically just a series of contingency plans. And so you're going to have to work through the draft with, you know, the unknown of what's going to be there at 32. But you're also going to have to do a ton of work on the front end in free agency and find some guys that, you know, right off the bat, you're going to be out of the market for a lot of these guys because you don't have the cap room. And you just got to do a ton of work. And so when the market doesn't materialize for certain players in certain positions, you have to be ready to jump on those guys and sign them right away. I think we did that last year when, you know, we didn't have a ton of room to work with, but especially after we signed the left tackle. But you're sitting there and you're doing a ton of work, and then when guys like Drew Tranquil become available and Mike Edwards become available, you have to be ready to go. So it's just a matter of just preparing a lot of different plans and being flexible and being able to be fluid throughout this process. And, you know, you can only do that if you put a ton of work in on the front end. And You know, fortunately for us, we've got a great staff, and you know, we do all that legwork so that when we run into those situations, we have these issues. We're not pigeonholed into, hey, this is the only shot we got. You know, we try to leave as many different paths to get to where we want to go as possible. So just a lot of work on the front end.
Brett, I hope you don't mind. One final question, then I'll let you go, because I know you have a series of these to do. When you do have success on a personal basis, yeah, I'm talking about personally, how much time do you give yourself to enjoy it before you know you're going to go back and start working on the next season?
Not enough time. I don't feel like – it's funny because, you know, I think in my mind, you know, when I was getting into this profession and then – you know, you dream of being a GM, and then when you get that opportunity, I think in your mind, you know, there's always that, like, subconscious thought that says, if I ever get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, you know, the rest is icing on the cake and it's all downhill. You know, they can never take that away from me, that kind of, you know, mindset. And I have learned, and this is me personally, I don't know how others feel who have, you know, been down this road, but it's been the complete opposite, where the pressure and the stress only magnifies. And, you know, I know that the first time we played in the Super Bowl, it was an excitement feeling. Then last year, there was more of an anxiety. And then this year, it's worse than last year. So and I think the reason, Steve, is because before you win one, there's always that, you know, excitement of wanting to get there and experience it.
Right.
But when you actually win one, you realize it's better than you can ever imagine. And you know what it feels like. And so I think the pressure becomes more because you know what it's like to hold that trophy up. You know what it's like to see your family. You know what it's like to have that parade. And so then that puts more anxiety on you because you don't want to be without that feeling. So it's gotten more stressful over the years. So I think that the time to really take it all in and enjoy it will probably be way down the road somewhere when it's all said and done. But, you know, it's a nonstop schedule. And, you know, obviously we have the big game Sunday. And right from there, you're in draft meetings. And then you're at the combine. And then you have OTAs. Then you have a breather in June. And then you're right back at training camp in July. So it's a nonstop deal. And, you know, I don't think I've ever sat there and really enjoyed it like you should. Certainly have some periods throughout the course of the spring and summer where I try to take a step back and look, but there's always something going on. So I don't think you can really probably take it all in until everything's all said and done.
Well, congratulations on what you've done to this point. I wish you nothing but the best of luck, obviously, coming up. And you are such a credit to this area that I think everyone around here is proud. And we're just thrilled that you gave us a few minutes of your time today. Brett, thanks so much.
Awesome. Anytime, Steve. And, hey, look, hopefully we can do this next year, too, right?
That sounds great, because I like making it an annual event when we talk about Chiefs Kingdom.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
I'm trying to think now what is more exciting in the segment. Having the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mount Carmel's own Brett Veach, the architect of the Chiefs' trip to the Super Bowl again, or the suit falling off the chair to start the segment as our play-by-play call of the day. We should have a vote here among the audience. What did you find more entertaining? And it's probably pretty close. The great information that Brett Veach put out there, or the entertainment value of the suit staring at the ceiling at Cornell while Doug's looking at the field. I think it's a closer vote than some people may realize. There is entertainment value in each. Brett's done a great job with Kansas City. When you have to sit there and you have to work in a league that has a cap, a league that has free agency, a league that has a draft, a league that has a first-place schedule, a league that has a last-place schedule, and to keep getting to the Super Bowl like they have has been remarkable. He made sure that he personally scouted the quarterback himself, Patrick Mahomes. He drafted him. You know, it was his scout that got them to draft him. And then they had to work the contract out once he became successful to then make sure that contract fit with Kansas City and still allowed them to have the flexibility to build around it. He's done all that. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, final half hour. It's time to stock up as well. Go over to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You can listen to the show on WKOK 1070 as you drive over. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up for the Super Bowl now. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's just warm enough out there today to talk some baseball. And with that, we bring in for the Philadelphia Inquirer our good friend Scott Lauber. Scott, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Doing really well. I hope the winter has treated you well.
It has. The Phillies went a period of about 65 days between major league moves. So that's a nice little vacation
for me. It is.
It's been good.
Yeah, it's been really good. So the Hall of Fame vote came up. And in fact, Utley and Rollins, neither one is even sniffing getting there. But it's also for Utley is a long road. I mean, he's just on for the first time. What did you think of the vote totals you saw from them?
So it was sort of an as expected. If I was surprised by anything, it was two things. It was number one, that Utley wound up with such a big difference between the public ballot number and what his ultimate number was. So for people who don't know, we cast these votes typically in December. They're due by December 31st. The announcement comes roughly a month later. So, and we receive the ballots right around Thanksgiving. So from Thanksgiving through the middle of January, there's a guy out in the Bay Area who does a terrific ballot tracker.
Yes.
His name is Ryan Thibodeau on Twitter or X. And he does a terrific job of kind of gathering and chronicling all the ballots that are made public. Not everybody makes their ballot public, but I would say 55, 60% of the voters do. And so Ryan does a pretty good job of collecting them, tabulating them. And so going into the ballot, the election announcement, you kind of know where people stand among the the public ballots that were revealed. And I think he got close to 60% of the ballots made public this year. And Chase Utley going into Election Day was just a shade under 40%, 39, 38, somewhere in that range.
Right.
Now, what we found over the years is that typically the percentages do go down from the public reveal to the ultimate reveal, you know, announcement. But Chase Utley came in at 28%. So there was, you know, he did notably worse among the voters who didn't make their ballots public. Right. I can't tell you why that is. I don't know what the demographic of those voters is, if there's any common denominator. But it was a bigger drop than I think we typically see from a lot of candidates. So I thought he was going to do better than he did, ultimately, based on what we were seeing from the tracker. But as you noted, it was year one for him, and we've seen plenty of candidates who, Scott Rowland, for instance, don't do as well as Chase Utley did in the first year and end up getting in. The second thing that I was a little bit surprised about, but based on the tracker I kind of expected, was that Jimmy Rollins did not receive a great boost with Chase Utley being on the ballot. I kind of wondered whether voters who were not voting for Jimmy Rollins but were going to vote for Chase Utley would come around on Rollins once they considered both of them, and that didn't happen quite as much. Jimmy finished at 14-point-something%, which was just a hair above last year, which was just a hair above the year before. So he's seeing year-over-year gains, but they're pretty modest gains, pretty minor gains, and in year four, he's got a long way to go. He's going to have to make a jump at some point if he wants to put himself into position to ultimately make it.
You can vote for 10, Scott. How many did you vote for?
Seven.
Which?
So I voted for the three Hall of Famers who did get in, Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, and Joe Maurer. I voted for Billy Wagner. I voted for Chase Utley. I voted for Gary Sheffield, and I voted for Carlos Beltran.
All those make sense to me. Hey, Sheffield, to me, is one that's I realize that the cream incident with Barry Bonds, but that was his worst year.
Yeah.
To me, a gauge as a fan, and this is a feel thing. It's not a next-gen stats thing. And he's on deck. And I'm saying, man, they can't face that guy.
Right? Yeah.
To me, that was Gary Sheffield. He was like, if you're sitting as fan, they can't face that guy.
Yep, I agree. And from talking to people in the game over the years, you know, you heard a lot of, we can't let that guy beat us. Don't want to face that guy with men on base. When he comes up to the plate, you don't look away, right? That's not when you go get your popcorn.
Yep.
He was must-see television, must-see watch. You talk to pitchers who faced him. He had that bat waggle, right? And it was one of the more ominous, intimidating things anyone who stood on a mound ever saw was Gary Sheffield come up there and waggle that bat.
Yep.
He knew he was going to hit the ball hard. He finished his career with 300 more walks than strikeouts, which tells me that he was a hitter more than just a slugger. And, you know, I watched, you know, watched his entire career, covered a large majority of his career, never covered him, but, you know, on a daily basis, but I have spoken to him about other players. I remember talking to him years ago, for a story about David Ortiz, and found him to be insightful and have a lot to say about hitting. So he's been a yes for me for a while, and unfortunately, this was his 10th and final year. He topped out at about 63%. I know that there were some people who thought that the PED link was a disqualifier for them with him. I respect that. I've been asked by a lot of people, because I don't vote for Alex Rodriguez and Manny Ramirez, why not them but Gary Sheffield? And my answer has been, and this is my ninth year as a voter, my philosophy has been that I draw kind of a line of demarcation at 2004 when testing was instituted and suspensions were put in place. Prior to 2004, Major League Baseball looked the other way, and so I tend to look the other way. I judge those players based on what they did. Do I think they were a Hall of Famer or not, whether or not they were linked to PEDs. There was no testing. And as I said, if MLB was going to look the other way, I'll look the other way. After 04, when MLB said, look, you know, no more. We're testing. If you fail a test, you get suspended.
Yes.
If you kind of had the temerity to continue doing it, you failed a test and you got suspended, well, then that's a disqualifier for me. So that's why yes to Sheffield and David Ortiz and those people over the years, and no to A-Rod and Manny.
Right, and that I admire that standard. Who was eighth for you where you fought it a little bit and just finally at the end said, no, leave it at seven?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there were three or four who I kind of left the ballot on my desk for a few weeks and was sort of like, do I check their name before I put it in the envelope and send it back? And for me, those were Jimmy Rollins, who I've kind of grappled with for the last few years.
Yeah.
Andy Pettit, Andrew Jones, who I've also come close on the last few years. Those were really the three that I kind of deliberated on the most. And, you know, in Rollins' case, I can't get there just yet. The number I keep bumping on is he was, you know, I look at lots of numbers, traditional numbers, new numbers. I covered Jimmy through his peak as well, every day from 06 to 09, and I know him fairly well. And I think Jimmy was a great player. For me, he's, you know, the OPS plus being 5% lower than league average over the balance of his career is one thing I have trouble with. I have trouble with the fact that, you know, if you asked me what was Jimmy Rollins' best season, of course it was 2007, his MVP year. If you asked me what his second best season was, I struggle with that because I find that the MVP year was kind of the outlier. You know, the rest of his career was outstanding, but 2007 took him to a different level for that year. You know, he was the MVP, team to beat, all of that stuff. Performance, impact, it was all Hall of Fame worthy. And if he'd had another few years that were as top of the peak as 07, he's in for me. For me, the rest of his career was really, really good, excellent. But kind of, you know, there was that one, 07 to me is more of the outlier year. So, whereas Chase Utley had a peak that was higher, it was shorter, you know, it was 05 to 10 or 11. It was shorter than a lot of people want in their Hall of Famers. But for me, he was the best second baseman in the league for a period of time of 5 or 6 years. I couldn't say that about Jimmy at his position for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. So, I bumped on him there. Andy Pettit, somebody brought up to me that DC Sabathia, who comes on the ballot next year, has numbers that are very, very similar to Andy Pettit. So why is it that most people think Sabathia is a no-doubt Hall of Famer and Pettit has had some trouble getting traction? So I took a longer look at him. I do believe we are going to have to reevaluate how we look at pitchers in this era. You really can't compare a pitcher from this era to one from, you know, the 80s or even the 90s, because pitching was so much different. I'm glad that I'll have an opportunity again to review guys like Rollins, Pettit, Andrew Jones again next year, and maybe I'll get there with them. I think I've come closer on some of them over the last few years, and, you know, I just haven't gotten far enough to check those boxes yet.
When it's a tiebreaker for you, you're like, okay, one way or the other. You mentioned Sabathia and you mentioned Pettit. What does postseason do to figure into your mindset about a guy? Because Pettit's postseason numbers are really good. Sabathia's are really up and down. For example, Utley was a great postseason player.
Yeah, I factor it in. I do. It does sometimes make the difference for me. It does sometimes put a guy, you know, Curt Schilling was another one who all those years, you know, you couldn't look at Curt Schilling's career and not take into account what he did in the postseason, the great postseasons he had over the course of his career. So, sure, I put it in there with everything else. I wouldn't say I weigh it most heavily, but I don't think it's just like an afterthought for me either. It's something that I definitely I definitely consider. And, you know, it works both ways. I've been a Billy Wagner voter for a long time, and one of the major criticisms of him, and it's a valid one, is that in the postseason, he didn't perform very well. And at his position in particular, closer, you know, what more important thing is there than postseason dominance and slamming the door to win your team a title? That never happened for him. I thought in his case, the regular season dominance was enough to overtake it. But I do respect and I do understand people who knock Wagner or don't vote for Wagner because of the postseason failures.
Interesting. You mentioned some time between what the Phillies are doing, moves, and so forth. One of the ones was the one that Bryce Harper's agent put out about a contract extension. I thought he had a contract extension. It was 13 years. What did you think when you saw that negotiating ploy?
It's an interesting one. I was a little surprised that Scott Boras was as direct about it as he has been. It is interesting. You go back about a year or so ago, and Bryce Harper came to spring training. He had the was coming off the elbow surgery, and he made a comment on the day that he arrived that I think most people sort of, you know, missed or kind of glossed over, where he talked about wanting to play into his 40s. Now, he signed to this 13-year contract, which runs through his age 38 season.
Yes.
So I kind of filed it away and, you know, okay, well, he wants to play into his 40s, which means this is not going to be his last contract,
right?
If that's his intention. And he's made that indication a few times since, where he's talked about wanting to play into his 40s. And, you know, you look around, and one of the things that Bryce Harper did not want when he signed this contract was he did not want the opt-out clause that we see now in so many of these deals, where after year three or year five or whatever it is, player can opt out of his contract, go back out on the market, and, you know, and make more money. Manny Machado, who signed with the Padres the same year
that, yep.
He had the opt-out. Yeah. He did not end up using it, but he did use it as leverage to get the Padres to renegotiate his deal. Harper doesn't have that, and by his own request, he didn't want that. Scott Boras kind of invented it when A-Rod got his opt-out umpteen years ago when he signed his huge contract with the Rangers. He used the opt-out. It's how he ended up getting to the Yankees staying with the Yankees after he'd gotten traded over there. So Harper didn't want it. I do wonder whether either Harper and or Boras has regrets that it's not there. They don't have leverage in this situation. The Phillies do not have any. There's nothing to compel them to say, all right, we'll rip up this deal, we'll renegotiate a new deal and stretch this contract, other than, you know, wanting to keep Harper happy and or, you know, reward him for being a good teammate and a good soldier. When they made the decision in November to move him to first base going forward, I wrote about this a little bit, and I said, you know, of course Harper was going to say that he's fine with playing first base, but I do think it's part of this, you know, this thing in his mind where, like, you know, I've been a good teammate, I've been a good soldier, I've helped you recruit all these players, I've moved to first base, I want to play into my 40s. I don't want to play anywhere else. You know, do me a solid the way I've done you a solid. Ultimately, I think they probably will work something out. I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon where they can extend his contract to get him to an age where he wants to retire and retire as a Philly. But it is interesting to try to use this strategy now when, like I said, he has no leverage for getting the Phillies to renegotiate.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the Machado thing because, yeah, that is the ultimate right there. He didn't use it. But you're right. I mean, what
leverage?
Yeah. But what leverage does he have along the way? And to a fan base, I mean, I think it's great he wants to stay. But if you're a fan base, you're saying, well, wait, they're already paying him in the 20s until, you know, how much more time he's got in this thing. I mean, I just think it's a bad PR move as well.
Yeah, I kind of thought that Harper would let it play out another few years, you know.
Yeah. yes.
take another few kicks at the can at winning a World Series, you certainly have a lot more goodwill, I guess you could say, stored up when you've been to the World Series multiple times. Maybe you've won one, you've been through a parade, and then you decide to say, hey, look, you know, I'll tell you what, like, I know I'm only halfway through my contract, but it only goes through my age 38 season. I want to play till I'm 40. I love it here. I don't want to play for anybody else. Can we work something out so that, you know, maybe it gets me to 40, 41 and keeps me a Philly forever? And, you know, at that point, the shine of a championship, you know, the organization says, absolutely, we'll do that for you. I kind of thought Harper would let that play out another few years. And it's funny, when Boris said that in answer to a question about Harper at the winter meetings, I followed up with Boris and I said, you know, this was just year five. You know, is this something that needs to happen now or needs to get done now? Like, why is this coming up now? And Boris said, well, when Bryce Harper comes to you and tells you this is what I want, he usually, you know, he usually is fairly, it means it's on his mind. It's something he's thinking about and he'd like to address it. And he came to me and said, like, what can we do? So, you know, it's clearly something that's been on his mind. I'm just surprised it's bubbling up now as opposed to, you know, after another couple of years.
It's great that it's the middle of January. We can talk baseball. Scott, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Thank you.
You bet, Steve. Anytime.
The outstanding Scott Lauber, Philadelphia Inquirer, talking baseball with him today. Love talking baseball with him anytime. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.